So, for those of you who don't know, I lived in Houston, and I used to hang out with this group quite a bit. And my life has changed really drastically, and I've shared with some of you kind of how that's been recently.
What's that?
Small group?
Small group? I moved to Boston, and I'm in seminary now. I study. I live with books. I've been hanging out in a library. For about the last month of school, this is what got me through. I think most of you know, those of you who don't maybe know me, I love this group. And I would sit in a basement day after day, and I was parsing my Greek verbs and these sorts of things, and I was enjoying that, no doubt. But as I was doing it, I was praying over you. I had a list of the names as they were being updated, as people were signing up, as you were putting in your deposit. I was going before God with your names. And some of you have been a little weirded out, I think, as I've met you. I'm like, wait, what's your last name? And you tell me, and I'd be like, that's right, yeah. Because I've gone before God with that name. I've been going before God, calling out on your behalf. Because I believe that we have come here for a reason. And it's to have fun and it's to ski. But I believe even more so than that, that we've come to go on a journey. And it's a journey that if you're willing to go, if you're willing to open your heart to listen to maybe what God has to say to you, I think it's a journey to the very heart of God. A living God who knows your name far better than I do. He knew it before the foundations of the earth. And I believe that if you're willing to go with me, that some amazing things will happen. But I am I'm always lost. And so when I think about going on a journey, I think about all the struggles I've had in my past. When I first moved to Houston, and I would be going to meet students or something, and inevitably I'd get lost, and I'd be wandering around. And there was one student that I had that knew directions really well. And so I'd always call him, and I'd say, Steve, I have no idea where I am. And I've got... Steve Spencer.
And so
I'd call Steve Spencer and I'd say, Steve, I'm late and I've got to meet these students and you got to tell me how to get where I'm going. And he'd say, well, where are you? And I'd say, I don't know. And he's like, well, you want me to give you directions but you don't know where you are? And I'm like, well, I see a gas station. I'm near a gas station and there's a guy in a blue shirt. Can you help me? And he's like, no, I need like streets. I need to know where you are. Locate yourself on a map and then I can help you get to where you're going. And so as I was thinking about all of my time just wandering around and driving in circles, and I was thinking about trying to lead a group on a journey, I was thinking the thing that you have to do first, we've got to locate ourselves on a map. We've got to find out where we are if we're really going to go anywhere. And so tonight, more than anything, by way of introduction, is an opportunity for us to kind of find out where we are. Where am I in this thing? And so we're going to try to dig deep a little bit. We're going to try to find out maybe, and it's going to be different for each person. It's going to require that maybe you interact in your own heart and mind tonight, that you ask some questions of yourself. But the way that we're going to do this, the way that we're going to locate ourselves on a map tonight so that we can go on a journey, is we're going to work through an interaction that Jesus had in Scripture. It's in John 18, so if you brought your Bible, you might want to flip there. It's John 18 at the end of the chapter, starting in verse 33. This is a conversation that Jesus had with Pilate. It's a conversation where Jesus' life was hanging in the balance. He's on trial, and he's brought before the man who holds his life in his hands. This guy holds Jesus' fate. And Jesus is pulled away from the crowds with this guy into a private room, and this is the conversation that they have. And I think as we read this conversation, as we see the way that Jesus and Pilate interact, we might just find ourselves in this. So follow along with me, but before I start reading, I'd like to remind you of something. Isaiah says this about your Bible. Isaiah is a prophet of old, and he said that the grass withers and that the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. You need to hear me on this. That means that everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever touched, the mountains, the people sitting next to you, this very room, it is all going to wither, it's going to rot, and it's going to die. It's not going to last. But when we come to the Word of God, we come to something that will never pass away. There is more life-giving power in eternity in these words than anything else you will ever find. We'd be wise to pay attention, I think. Let's start reading verse 33. It says, "So Pilate entered his headquarters again, and he called Jesus, and he said to him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?'" Let's stop right there. Pilate, okay, this powerful man, pulls Jesus aside. The crowds are outside right now. If we had read before this, we'd read that the crowds are just outside, and they're calling for Jesus' blood. We want this guy dead. And Pilate says, "Jesus, come inside with me." And he asked him a very direct question. "Jesus, are you the King of the Jews?" Okay, this is the deal. Pilate is a Roman, and the Romans are lording over the Jews at this point. And Jesus has been brought before Pilate as a threat to the Roman rule. And if Jesus, in fact, calls himself the King of the Jews, if he's leading a revolution, well, then he should die. So what Pilate, in essence, has asked is, you answer this question, your life depends on it. How you answer this question will determine whether you live or whether you die. Jesus responds by saying this, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" This is kind of Jesus taking the conversation back. He says to Pilate, "What, do you think I'm a king?" You know, okay, this is absurd. Jesus is a homeless rabbi, and he's standing before a powerful man who could kill him if he wanted. His life is on the line. He says, "What, do you think I'm a king?" Pilate gets frustrated. Pilate answers, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus answered, listen to this. This is just a paradox right here. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from the world." Jesus standing before Pilate. I love the song we just sang. It says that he was born the King of the Angels. What you've got to realize is that this is God in flesh. A very humble-looking guy. He's a homeless rabbi that's been traveling for years. He's been beaten. He's emaciated. His bones are sticking out. He's standing before one of the most powerful men in the area, and this man holds his life in his hands. And Jesus looks at him. He goes, "You don't even know. My kingdom's not of this world. I'm the King of the Angels on high. I am the King from age to age. You don't even know. You're worried if I'm the King of the Jews. I'm the King of all. I'm the King of eternity." Pilate says to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, but for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Jesus says this, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And pay attention to this next verse, because I think this is kind of where we're going to end up settling tonight. Pilate says to him, "What is truth? What is truth?" And it says, after he said this, he went back outside to the Jews, and he told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And now Barabbas was a robber. So in essence, what has happened? Pilate, after interacting with Jesus, walks out to the crowds and he says, "Who do you want me to release?" And they say, "We want the robber to be released. You go kill this King of the Jews." What's so powerful about this story, and as I was praying for you and I was thinking about, okay, if we're looking at the map, if we're in the Galleria and we've got the map in front of us, what's the first thing you do? You try to find the "You Are Here" sticker, because that's the only way you're going to get where you're supposed to be going. And as I was thinking about this group, and I was praying for you, and I was praying for my heart, and thinking about how are we together going to journey towards God, I started thinking, where is it that I find us on this map? And I find us in Pilate's shoes in verse 38. Because this is the deal. Follow me here. I believe that all of us in one way or another are Pilate tonight. You may not have realized that when you signed up to come on this trip. But Pilate, this is the deal. He is in his palace, and Jesus is brought before him, and he's thrust before Pilate. And this weekend, in some form or fashion, you are going to be placed in front of Jesus. Jesus is going to be taught. We're going to sing about him. You're going to see new things about Jesus. And so already there's this parallel that Pilate is actually seeing Jesus. He's hearing him speak truth. And Jesus says, "I have come to tell you of the truth." And Pilate, in response, asked a very, very weighty question that I believe we all must ask and answer in this world. During your lifetime, you will constantly be asking the question, what is truth? You may never put words to it. You may never sit and think. You may not hang out in the library with your books, maybe like I do, and think, what is truth? But every day you are asking that question and you are making decisions based on the answers that you are settling in your heart. And one of the great tragedies is that here is Pilate looking at Jesus, King of eternity, standing before him, and he pauses and he says, what is truth? But the great tragedy is that he doesn't wait for an answer. It's as if he throws his hands up and he says, we'll never know. And he goes back, and he goes back to the voice of the crowds, and he never allows it to settle on his heart. And what I'm going to try to create space for us here is that we would really be able to dwell on that we wouldn't make the same mistake that Pilate made. And so the question tonight is, what is Pilate even asking? When he says, what is truth? What is he even asking? Now, a truth statement is just a statement that correlates to something that is real in the world. So I could say that Brune has a sweet beard. That's a true statement, okay? That corresponds to something that is real. But that's just a true statement. Truth, with a capital T, okay, big truth, is what is most foundational in our world. What is most real in this world? And the deal with Pilate, he's standing before this homeless rabbi who's saying, I've come to speak the truth. But Pilate's heard a lot of different people speak truth. He's heard great philosophers who've kind of posited different things. He's heard of the Stoics, the Epicureans. There's all these people that have said, this is the way it is. This is truth. This is truth. And now here's another voice, Jesus, saying, I'm the King from on high, and I've come to speak the truth. I think you live in a world much like Pilate's, where there's a lot of competing voices. There are a lot of people that are telling you a lot of different things about what is most foundational and most real. I think Best Buy is one of those voices. Some of the voices, we don't expect them to come from these places, but Best Buy right now. Follow me here. You're going to start to see how confusing this issue is. When I start thinking about what is most foundational, what is most real, what can I build my life on? This is capital T truth. Best Buy would tell you that if you come and you buy their stuff, what's their marketing campaign right now? Does anybody know? Anybody seen this? All their Christmas commercials say, you happier. If you come and you buy our stuff, they'll show a TV on sale and they'll say, it's you happier. You with a TV. You with more stuff. There is a voice that is loud in our world that says the one with the most toys wins. If you accumulate the most stuff, that is what's most real. That's what you can build your life on. That's what's true. That's what you can trust. If you just get a lot of cool stuff, if you make sure that you've got everything, then you've got it. That's one way of thinking of things. There's another one that would say, if you're most popular, if you've got the most friends, if people like you, if they respect you, you'll begin to think that maybe that's most real, that's most true, that you can build your life on. But the way that I begin to evaluate these things, and this is what I'd invite you in tonight. In Boston, there's a lot of lakes and rivers all around us, and ponds, and they freeze over in the winter because it's dang cold there. Way colder than Houston. I found that my blood thinned out when I lived in Houston. And the deal is, as the freeze comes, people want to go play on the ice. You can go run and skate and jump. But when the first freeze comes, the question becomes, can that ice support my weight? And that's a scary question. Because if the answer is no, and I think yes, I'm in a whole world of trouble. And so the way that people approach it is in different ways. Some will go out to the ice, and they get down on their hands and knees, and they kind of start tapping, and they do this number, and they're starting to say, do I have faith that this foundation can support me? And slowly and surely, they'll start to crawl out on the ice, and sometimes they start off on their hands and knees, and they crawl out, and they're like, am I about to die? I don't know. But then all of a sudden, they start to realize, okay, this ice can support me. Yeah. And then they get up, and they can start to run and jump and skate and play because this foundation can support them. There's others that take a much more erratic approach, and they think, that ice looks amazing. I know that I could go have a great time. I'm going to slide. And so they'll back up, and they'll run, and they'll just jump and believe that ice will catch them. The deal is this. that ice's ability to support the weight of the individual, that ice will either support them or not. And it doesn't matter whether they really believe that it can. Follow me on this. And this is all going to make sense if you stick with me. Trey, I know you're confused right now, but stick with me. He was just looking at me like, you're making no sense. But it's going to make sense, I promise you. This is the deal. The way that you evaluate what is most true, the way that we find ourselves on the map and say, what am I building my life on? As we start to put ourselves in the shoes of Pilate, as we look at Jesus in the eyes and we ask the question, what is most real? We ask, what do we live for? And can that something that we live for support our weight? That's the question that I want us to ask tonight. Because the deal with Pilate is that he says, what is truth? And then he walks out without considering what that means. For us, what I want us to realize is that you may be building your life on something tonight that cannot support your weight. You may have complete faith that you can run and jump into the idea that Best Buy is selling you, that if you get enough stuff, that that is real and that can support you, and that will be a life worth living. But that is very thin ice. Very thin ice. We can believe that if we can get enough people around us to love us and respect us, that that's a life worth living, that that is true, and that's worth building on. And we can run and we can jump, and it will not support us. There is a whole host of things that when we put ourselves in the shoes of Pilate and we say, what is true? There are some things that can support the weight of your life, and there are some things that are not. I realized when I left Houston that I had begun to build my life on something that couldn't completely support my weight. I had always given these kind of Sunday school answers, like, what's most important to me is God, and it's what Jesus thinks of me. But daily, I was starting to answer that question in a different way. And it actually pertains to all of you. I began to be so consumed with the fact that, man, students, they respect me and they want to ask me hard questions and they want to share things with me. And I started to build my life on what you thought of me. And it was devastating. It was devastating when I realized that couldn't support the weight of my life. Because I got to Boston and I started to realize when they're not in my life, I start to wonder, who am I? What do I really stand for? Can that support me? And tonight, what I want you to ask, and some of you, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm scattered at this point. And this is the question I want you to ask. When you wake up each morning, what do you live for? When you wake up breathing, you think, I've been given a new day. I think that's the question that Pilate is asking. What is truth? What is most foundational? What I want you to ask yourself is, what do I live for? And the second question that has to follow is, can that something support the weight of my life? If you are living for the love of people, ladies, if you are living with the hope that a man would look at you and call you beautiful and wrap you in his arms and make you feel special, if that's what you're living for, ask the question, can that support the weight of your life? What happens when he fails you? He cheats on you when he's not who he said he was. That ice cracks pretty quick. What about when we think, if I can just make $10 million and have a big house and live in the right neighborhood, and we think that's a life, that is something that can support me. What happens when we gain all this stuff and we realize that it means nothing? That it's going to rot, the moths are going to get in and eat it, and it's going to turn back to nothing, and we're still miserable on the inside. What is it that you wake up every morning for and you think, I live for this? What is it? Is it football? What happens when you break your leg? What happens when you get wrinkly and you can't run anymore? What happens if your life has been built on it? What do you live for? I sit in my library and I sit in this basement and I pray over your names and I say, what do they live for? God, where are they on this map of life? When Pilate looks at Jesus and he asks this question, but then he just keeps going. And he allows the voices of the crowd to drown out this very important question. And I was saying, God, please, please don't let these students make that same mistake. Don't let them live a life where they wake up day after day after day after day, and they let the voices of the crowds drown out the most important question, and they find themselves living their lives for something that cannot support their weight. Do you follow me? Do you follow me that we are all living for something? You may have never put words on it, but you live for something every day. Will it last? Is it something worth living for? And the truth is, I don't. Sunday school answers don't cut it. Some of you tonight are saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. But there are things in our lives that we are building on that we think are so important. That's my only question tonight. Because if we are going to go anywhere, if we are going to move together this weekend towards something that I think can be really powerful, we have to start by digging really deep in our own hearts. And like Pilate, looking at Jesus, asking the most important question, but unlike Pilate, stopping and finding out what the answer is. Because the last thing I want for you is that you are running and you are jumping into something that cannot support your life. The last thing I want is that students I love find themselves drowning in freezing water going, how did I find myself? That's it for tonight. All I wanted to put before you was the "You Are Here" sticker. And I can't answer these questions for you. John Turner, I don't know what you wake up living for every day. I don't know what all the things are that inform who you are. But that's the question I want you to ask tonight. If you trust me enough to say, maybe we really are going on a journey, find out where you are on the map, because we cannot go anywhere until you say, what's in there? What motivates me? What drives me? And can it support my way? Because if it can't, we dang well better looking for some thick ice. We better start looking for something that can support your way. Because the cracks come quick and the water's cold. You follow me? What I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask that we can create some space. Is, where's Jeremy? Would you play one song for us? And I'm just going to pray for us. And what I'm going to ask is that you just use these couple of minutes. We're going to have some small group time tonight to talk. But more than anything, these are questions that you have to answer for yourself. All I can do is pose the question. And if you're not interested, that breaks my heart. But I understand. But what I would beg of you is that you'd take a moment and that you'd at least give me the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, I'm going to ask the tough question. I'm going to find out what's going on in there. I'm going to find out what drives me every day. Because when we do, when we locate ourselves, we'll be able to start moving together towards something powerful. So let me pray. And then let's sing a song and just enjoy this moment. God, as we start this weekend together, I ask that you would be our guide. I'd ask that you'd lead us somewhere. Somewhere beautiful, powerful. What I long for, God, what I long for is that these students, that these leaders, God, we are not exempt. I pray that we would ask these hard questions as well, that we would all look at our lives and say, what is it every day that drives us? Why do we say the things we say? Why do we do the things we do? Why do we spend our money the way that we do? Why do we do the things in the dark when nobody are looking? Why do we do those things? What is it that motivates us? What is it inside of us, God? What is it that we are living for? And God, I beg that if it is something that cannot support our weight, something that will crack and will fail us, that we would recognize that and that we would allow you to take us on a journey to your heart. What a tragedy, God. What a tragedy if we waste our lives. God, I long that each one of them, I know they've got other things on their minds. I just pray that right now that you would be the one speaking to them. Because I don't have the words. You have the power to look inside of us and say, this is a broken foundation and you cannot build your life on it. Show us those places in our lives, God. Help us to be courageous and bold, to not just shy away from it, but to say, what is it that I'm building my life on and can it support me? God, you can do this. You can show us this. And so we ask you to do it. We ask it for your glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.